Shohei Ohtani becomes the first MLB player to hit 50 homers and steal 50 bases. Aaron Rodgers leads the Jets past the Pats. And Barrett Salee is going to join us to discuss whether a team from outside the SEC and Big Ten can hoist the natty this year. Check it out and more on the Flame and Dragon Friday edition of Crane & Company. He was a dragon. Hey, you. Yes, you. Don't worry. I'm not around you. Just listen to me. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it doesn't matter. Give us a 5-star review. And please keep sharing the show because we're watching. We always are. Everybody talks about the young quarterbacks that we see in the NFL, and they should. I get it. But college football is flush with young QB talent right now, and it's been on display early, and the future looks brighter than Will Hunting standing next to a solar panel. We're going to talk about some of them today, but one guy in particular has stood out to me, not just because of his physical ability to throw off platform or extend the play from inside and outside of the pocket, but for his maturity. And that young man is Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola. It's one thing to have talent. It's another to have an understanding of the game and the patience of a veteran as a true freshman. So far, Raiola never gets sped up. He understands what he's looking at from a protection, coverage, and box standpoint, and his ability to not get greedy and take what's there sets him apart from most other youngsters. Young signal callers are so eager to go show everyone that they're elite that they force things. That's why we call them young mistakes. Dylan really doesn't do that. If you're going to let Nebraska run the ball with success, he'll run it. If you're going to make him beat you with his arm, he'll do that. And that's why Nebraska seems so balanced and organized offensively. It's the polar opposite of what they had last year and in years previous. It's also pretty obvious he has command of the locker room because hype is one thing, but real does recognize real. And his teammates seem to feed off his maturity and ability. If you just woke up from a coma and you didn't know what year he was, if I popped the tape in, you'd never guess he's a true freshman. And that's the rarest trait that he possesses, in my opinion. Does he cosplay as Patrick Mahomes? Yes, but that's a good thing. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the business right now, and Raiola seems to not let the hype go to his head. Instead, he just becomes more confident in his process. And like Drake said, you know it's real when you are who you thought you were. I'm going to bring in my co-host, former Michigan quarterback David Cone, and it's Friday.
Come on!
You know who's sitting to my right. Play it. Dragon.
This is flaming!
He is Dragon.
Alan Lazard, you beautiful SOB. Oh, I knew it.
The Dragon.
I knew it. Hey, 1.5.
1.5.
Lazard the Wizard. We came through. You know what else is going to come through today? The over.
No, it's not.
David doesn't have a piece
of paper
today.
Don't know. On Fridays, we are not allowed to use my brother's government name. Hopefully nobody steals that segment too, but that's a story for another day. David, when you look at young quarterbacks in college football right now, and I want to make sure we understand the difference between saying the best quarterbacks and the best young quarterbacks, right? Those are two different things. But I mean, whether it's Dylan and there's a couple other guys that are really starting to work their way up and there's a lot of season left, who kind of stood out to you and who's somebody that you look at and you're like, all right, this guy's future, it's legit?
Well, I'll continue to say I'm amazed at how younger and younger these guys are when they get the starting job. You know, when I was getting recruited, it was pretty much known like, hey, for most guys, hey, you're going to redshirt your freshman year, even your sophomore and junior year, you might sit behind an older guy, you're going to put on 30 pounds, and in a couple years, you might get a chance to be the starting quarterback, and most people were good with that. What some of these guys, like you're talking about with Dylan Raiola and even, you know, Nico Iamaleava, Jackson Arnold, Arch Manning, like this is such a cool weekend just this weekend because Nico and Jackson are going to get to face each other in a game. Dylan's going to be playing in a top 25 matchup. Arch is going to get his first start. So I really think like all of these guys are doing really special things. Three out of those four have completion percentages over 70%. I know the schedule's, you know, not world beater schedules just yet, but even Jackson Arnold's right there at 63% completion percentage. And my favorite part of all this is I think the best football is ahead for these guys.
Yeah.
You know, you said something in your open. It's one thing to have talent. you're nothing without your mindset. I played with a lot of guys who were talented. I played with a lot of guys who were better as freshmen than they were as sophomores. They were better as sophomores than they were as junior and seniors. These kind of fell off as time went on, right? They got complacent. With these guys, man, I just think like the best football is truly ahead of them.
David, why do you think that, you know, and the NFL is one thing because you're going through college. It's not like you go straight out of high school to the pros like we've seen in other sports. Why do you think some of these guys are so ready? Is the training just better? Mm-hmm. Like, is it because of the RPO game? Is maybe, you know, simplified, you know, the process of what goes on during a play? Is there a main catalyst, you think, for this?
Well, I still think that it's just equally as hard to determine whether or not they're going to be great pros. I'm not saying that so much. I'm not saying all of these guys are going to be great professionals because the game is completely different at professional level. I'm just talking about still at the collegiate level. I think another part of what it is the evaluation process is so intense now that you really are, you're putting these guys through a more intense process even before they get to take over as starting quarterbacks. And for a lot of kids, too, like, they get to redshirt as freshmen. They get to sit behind other guys. But just, it's still all circumstantial, individual situations. And when I look at what Nico's able to do or Dylan Raiola so far, it just seems like they have the right kind of mindset where the complacency is not going to be setting in. I think also part of it, too, when you talk about Dylan, he's a legacy at Nebraska. His father was an athlete. Like, that helps so much being able to prepare a kid for, here's exactly what you're going to see when you get on campus. Here's the exact moment you're going to get homesick for the first time. Here's the exact moment you're going to run away and want to come back to where you grew up from. Here's how you can manage that and deal with the expectations that are going to be overwhelming with some of these programs.
Flaming Dragon, I want to know who, you know, is obviously a young quarterback that's kind of caught your eye. No Diddy, obviously. But when you look at them going forward, we always talk about whether it's in baseball, whether it's in football, whatever, it's the adjustment to the adjustment. I think that's why you see sophomore slump sometimes. Because guys come in the league or come into a, you know, college, the tape gets out on them, the book gets out of them, out on them, and defenses always catch up, regardless of what Mel Kiper thinks. Who's a guy that you're looking at right now? Maybe we haven't mentioned yet. You're like, hey, I either want to see something from this guy, or I think this guy has a chance to really do something big.
I'm glad you brought that up because we can all sit here and talk about the Nicos, the Arches, and the Dylan Raiolas. But one guy we haven't seen a lot of tape on, who I definitely thought we weren't going to talk about, especially before the season started, it's Marcel Reed. What he did against Florida. Now, was he in a limited capacity in that game? For sure. But I think you're seeing the future of A&M football, and I think we're not going to see Connor Wegman out there anymore. The layers and the dual threat capability that you can bring to an offense only struggles a defense more, right? And you have athletes on Texas A&M from your running game to your receivers, but that extra hat in the box that has to keep an eye on the quarterback, it just opens your playbook to almost sky potential. And I think Marcel, from a decision standpoint, if he can develop as a passer, and a decision maker, he has abilities you can't teach when it comes to running the football. So I think what we saw against Florida will be the future for Texas A&M, and that will be Marcel Reed.
Well, we've heard Mike Elko say, and from a source that I trust that's connected with A&M, that the starting quarterback is going to be a game-time decision for the rest of the season. If Elko would have came out and said, next couple weeks, Connor, you know, is a little beat up still. We're trying to work through some things. Marcel's going to be the guy, and then we're going to put Connor back in there. That's not what he said. And when you watch A&M, and I get it's against Florida, right? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Florida is the steel curtain, right, that we saw defensively from the Steelers. But what he opens up to Flaming Dragon's point, and it seemed like the guys around him elevated their play. That's a real thing. Mm-hmm. Some guys spark everybody else. And I'm not saying Connor Wegman can't do that or that he's a bad player, this, that, and the other. But if you look at A&M's track record, they really have success offensively or they hit their peak when the quarterback can move, whether it's Johnny Banz, whether it's Kellen Mond. Then you see Marcel Reed, who just has to throw it good enough. Nobody's asked him to be Drew Brees because with that running element and against Florida, David, he threw some balls, especially across the middle.
It was a huddle-up play.
Yeah, like anticipating then down the field. It's like, hey, if you can do that, you need to play.
So then I wonder, the question with Connor Wegman is how much of the injury is impacting his performance, because I still think he's a really good football player. And then if Marcel Reed is just that much better than him and he's the next guy, then what happens with Connor? Because I'm seeing a couple other Texas A&M quarterbacks who've transferred out and doing well. Haynes King.
Yeah.
I know Max Johnson already with another injury so far, but I just wonder if that's what the future is for Connor Wegman, where he ends up leaving College Station and starting somewhere else. If that injury is something that he can get over psychologically.
Yeah. Now, and again, in the transfer portal era, you know, who knows where he's
everyone needs a quarterback.
Everybody needs a quarterback. Yeah. And we'll see. All right, the phone lines are going to open 2:45 p.m. Central, 1-855-236-3228. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Turn that notification bell on. Thanks so much for joining us. We want to know who's a young quarterback that we didn't talk about, and we're going to get to the chat that you like. But first, something we all need, all right, especially men, all right, you got to believe in the American dream, all right? The world's gone kind of crazy, but your shaving game doesn't have to. That's why the Precision 5 from Jeremy's Razors stands as a beacon of sanity. Look, you want to feel smooth, all right? You want to look good. You want to make sure you're supporting companies, too, that support you. And with 5 blades of superior engineering, you talk about dual threat, it's times 5, 5-tool player. There's a little Shohei Ohtani reference for you. It offers a shave as unshakable as your faith. Experience an exceptionally smooth, remarkably close shave, and a testament to the fact that merit still matters, and stop giving your money to corporations that don't like you. Get Jeremy's Razors Precision 5. It's available now at jeremysrazors.com, walmart.com. That's right. Getting into the mainstream, and Amazon Prime as well. We all use it. That's why, again, so smooth. And Flaming Dragon has a mustache and has got a little bit extra brown sugar going on around it. But when he does shave, mm-hmm. he uses that Jeremy's Razors and the Precision. Well, it's not a lie. All right, let's get to the chat.
All right, chat, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate on topic, it will get read on this beautiful Friday. We're going to start the day off in Sark We Trust. He said, Jake, when it comes to Arch Manning, how much do you think Sark will let him get control of the offense just in case Quinn can't be there when they need him most?
I think you just answered your own question. It's very intuitive of you, and this is something we actually talked about before the show, and Sark has come out and said, nothing is going to change preparation-wise, installation-wise, and execution-wise. And I think that's not just to get Arch ready for when Quinn leaves, but we don't know when Quinn's going to go down again. We've seen it every year. At some point, he gets hurt, including this year. So you have to have a great backup plan. And to have a great backup plan, you need a player that can do it. But getting valuable reps, I don't care if it's against ULM, MLU, LUM, or MUL. It doesn't matter. You want to get good quality reps. Let him work through the whole process of the offense, which makes it easier for everybody else around him too, David. You don't have to limit your preparation or say, well, we're not going to be able to run this, which is going to make us dribble with our left hand. And also, we got to see with Arch. And to win a national championship, they need Quinn Ewers at quarterback, I think. But Arch does provide an element that Quinn Ewers really doesn't. Not saying Quinn's a paraplegic or he can't run, but I mean, Arch hit 20 miles per hour.
Like 21.
I don't go 20 miles per hour in the school zone, D.
Yeah. I think they're fine. There's a lot of confidence in the quarterback room in Austin, right?
What do we call it? A high class problem.
All right, let's go to Bo. Bo, what's up? He says, I'm not saying I didn't see the same thing y'all did, but I've seen Wegman play at an elite level as well.
Well, that's exactly right. It's one thing if we hadn't seen Connor play well. We've seen him play well. I mean, we had David Pollack on earlier, a guy that knows a ton about football, played it at the highest level, went against some of the best quarterbacks. And when you pop in the tape, Connor Wegman has shown you what he can do. But the caveat to that is, and if you played sports, it's either happened to you or you know somebody that's happened to if you played long enough. Injuries, it's not just the rehab, especially to leg injuries. I've said this a million times, but it's the truth. Whether it's foot, ankle, knee, whatever, it's trusting the ability to stick your feet in the ground and throw the ball, or stand in there and take that hit after you got injured, standing in there and taking a hit against Auburn and just trusting it. If you go back and watch the tape against Notre Dame, which is a defense that bothers you as a quarterback, right? Not McNeese, but a defense that you know deep down in your heart, hey, these guys are coming and they're bringing hell with them. Watch his feet in the pocket as compared to when he was doing really well before the injury. It looks like two different guys. And that's, again, why I think Mike Elko, to paraphrase him a little bit, gave you some insight after that Notre Dame game and going into the week that, hey, he's got to trust this thing. It's healthy. You got to trust that it's healthy. We see it with running backs, with knees. It takes a little bit of time to trust sticking that foot in the ground and making that cut or using that jump cut or being able to roll your hips through contact after you've had a lower body injury. It's a real thing.
Oh, let's go to Jack. Jack, what's up, brother? If Nebraska continues to increase success, does Matt Rhule stay around? Seems to be a good long-term fit, even though that hasn't been his track record.
I don't know Matt Rhule personally. I know people that know him. I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about the guy, and that's including people that worked with him at the Panthers. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he would never take another job because I don't know. But I go with my gut. My instinct's typically right. This seems like a Goldilocks porridge. It's just right situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only are you at a place in Nebraska that has a ton of tradition. They love their football. You look at the sellouts. Wait till you see it tonight when they play Illinois at home, a game that we broke down. We're going to get into again today. But you can be the guy that resurrects that.
Yes.
Not the prodigal son in Scott Frost that everybody thought the boy that was going to pull the sword out of the stone. Turns out it wasn't. Turns out it was Matt Rhule. Now, people say Penn State. He loves Penn State. I don't think James Franklin's going anywhere. That would be the only caveat to it where I would say maybe he would go somewhere else. But if you're Matt Rhule, why? Why? Because I'm telling you right now, Nebraska isn't going anywhere. Do I think they're going to be the most elite team or turn into the next Bama or Georgia? I don't. But I think they are climbing their way back to prominence where they can have a chance to win a national championship. And people say, oh, location, it's hard to get guys to go to Lincoln. Well, guess what? If this was 1820 and we were having to take carriages and horses, then maybe you have a point. But it's 2024. Elon Musk is landing rockets backwards on a plank in the Indian Ocean. I think you guys want to go where the NIL money is and where the good players are. And Dylan Raiola, this is another reason why having a young quarterback is such a huge thing, not only in recruiting out of high school, but in the transfer portal. Great players want to play with great players. If I'm a receiver, why would I not want to go play with Dylan Raiola, who's going to put the ball in a place where I can go make my money and catch passes? So I don't think he is. My gut tells me that. Who knows at the end of the day, but I would bank on him staying at Nebraska.
And he already tried his hand in the NFL.
Yeah. Now,
those guys who come back to college, they stick around usually with that school for a while. Nick Saban, 17 years with Alabama. Steve Spurrier came back to college, stayed with South Carolina for quite
a
while.
You can be a hero at Nebraska.
Yeah, like to your point, like imagine being the guy who resurrects Nebraska football. They've sold out every home game for 5 decades, and now with an expanded playoff, if you can get that if you can get into that a couple years in a row with a young quarterback, there's no resources you can't have.
No, without a doubt. And Nebraska's got money. But let me give you a hint. Farmers got money when it's cooking.
Yeah.
And Nebraska has got deep pockets.
All right, let's go to Eddie. Eddie, what's up? He says, what young quarterback will not do enough this weekend to get their team the win?
Man, maybe Jackson Arnold.
It's easy. I think, obviously, either saying Nico or Jackson, and you would lean toward Jackson just because Tennessee's a better team. I'm so excited about Jackson Arnold's future. I do want to see him stay in the pocket a little bit longer. There's sometimes where he kind of bails on it. He's a sneaky runner. I'm interested to see how much he runs against Tennessee this weekend, Nico included. You know, I don't want to say he's not going to do it. I want to see what Hank Brown's going to do for Auburn against Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean, he's another young guy. Arch, they're playing ULM. I'm not. He could play bad and they could still cover. I want to see Hank Brown against a defense like Arkansas that may not be elite, but is a lot better than what you saw against New Mexico. So I'm not saying he's going to do bad, but if there's somebody who may not do enough because he's not ready or he's not there yet, it could be Hank Brown at Auburn. He could go and ball this weekend. It can't get much worse than Peyton Thorne. I will say this. I don't think he's going to turn into Panic and Skywalker in the pocket like a fifth-year senior Peyton Thorne, though. I don't think that.
I'll tell you one thing, why I'm leaning towards Jackson Arnold to answer that question is because, you know, on the flip side of it, Brent Venables is going to have a great plan for Tennessee. Maybe he makes things difficult all night for Nico. That's very possible. I just wonder if Tennessee finds themselves up by 10, finds themselves up by 14, if that sort of affects the way that Oklahoma has to play on offense, and then you have to use Jackson Arnold to play catch up, that might create a tough night for
him. To your point, I want to stick to this for a second. I don't think you could be more correct, but I want to flip it in reverse. What if the game is close? How much do you trust Jackson and Arnold to open up the menu even more and say, you know what? You're going to have to throw it for us to win it. Are you sitting here and say, hey, maybe Nico's struggling. Maybe it's a low-scoring game. Maybe we just need to run the ball and play field position and not let a young guy make a mistake. And that's why we gave credit to Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. when they went and played Texas State with Sam Levitt, another young guy at quarterback, who they really haven't had to throw the ball to win. They hadn't been trailing all year. It got to the point where they weren't having a ton of success running the ball against Texas State. And Dillingham said, you know what? Throw it, young buck. We're going to let you throw it.
I think if this game, if Oklahoma is within a touchdown for most of the game or within into the fourth quarter, I think that's going to help Jackson Arnold's confidence. You know, and I think that sure. He's going to say, hey, we're within striking distance. And people thought we were going to lose this game easily rather than if they're down 14 in the first 12 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Now, sorry, kid, you got to go figure out some sort of way to get us back into it. Then things could unravel even worse.
And that's you know, kind of what you face as a head coach with a young quarterback is how much do you trust him. But, I mean, let's not act like Jackson Arnold and Nico haven't played a decent amount. I mean, you know, you look at last year playing in the bowl game, having a whole offseason to have the offense and build that chemistry with guys. And Oklahoma's getting some weapons back. You know, it's not just Deion out there. It looks like Nick Anderson. They're getting a couple offensive linemen back. So it's a good point, David. I'm interested to see it. I do want to move on. I want to get into rapid fire, but quickly, whether you're a young quarterback, whether you're an old quarterback, whether you're not a quarterback at all, you want to be a responsible man. All right, we talked about our responsible man of the week last week was Mike Elko speaking to Texas A&M when they beat Florida. But what is responsible man? David asks ominously.
What is responsible man?
God, David, you really asked that ominously. Let me tell you, it's a multivitamin that's packed with 33 key ingredients that support your immune system. They sharpen your brain and keep your heart and muscle strong. Here's what I say. We don't get all the vitamins we need. At least I don't. Maybe y'all are better than me out there, and kudos to you. But whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, or just yourself, you want to make sure you're getting all the vitamins and nutrients that you need to keep your body operating at the highest efficiency level. It's very easy. You get Responsible Man. You take these. They got a minty flavor. It's not like you found one in the bottom of an old shoe in a basement, because that's typically how vitamins smell. And it's really, really easy to take advantage of a great fall sale as well. Get 30% off your order, plus an additional $9 off your first order. Just head over to responsibleman.com. Use code BOOSTER, BOOSTER, at checkout. But hurry, this deal won't last long. Got to get that up-tempo offense. Remember, America needs strong men, and strong men start with Responsible Man. So go to responsibleman.com. Use that code BOOSTER. Get 30% off, plus $9 off your first order. Get peace of mind. It's a piece of cake. Be the man your team needs you to be. Responsible Man. Check it out. Helps us out. Helps y'all out. Helps out America. All right, let's get to rapid fire here.
All right, boys. Rapid fire.
The New York Jets.
Yeah. The New York Jets looked good last night. Pretty much lived in 12 personnel. A lot of 13 personnel, to be honest. Really were running the ball well. Patriots did not look so good. What were your thoughts? And then also, what were your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers and Coach Saleh interaction on the sideline? Okay.
First thing I want to say, kudos to Flaming Dragon. Hit another, what was it, plus 1,400?
Plus 15.
Plus legendary 1,500. Run. Alan Lazard, first touchdown scorer. He's back. It was just a matter of time. I mean, shoot, back-to-back weeks. I've hit one, and you've hit one.
Rolling in it.
Just absolutely rolling in it. Let's play this clip, though. I want to get to the game breakdown a little bit. But let's get to this clip of Aaron Rodgers and Xerxes' nephew. I mean, Robert Saleh. Let's play it. See, he goes in for the hug. Now, Aaron said, and the glare is what gets me.
The glare's a lot.
I don't know. And look, Aaron's a different cat. But Aaron did say during that interaction or in the press conference about that interaction that Saleh's always talking about a 2-score lead, and that gave him a 2-score lead. So when he went to hug him, he pushed him off and was like, 2-score lead. But I still don't understand, why would you not just hug him and then say, there's a 2-score lead? Do you think something's up? Well,
no, I don't think. I thought he said, don't too early.
Oh.
That's what I thought he said.
Well, that's what Aaron Rodgers said.
Okay, that's what I thought he said. If he said that, a couple things here. One, why are you trying to hug me? Stop. What have we won? It's the Kobe. Like, what? I mean, we've done nothing. We haven't won the football game.
But the glare is what I'm just like.
I mean, that was a glare like, hey, you didn't close the cabinets again in
well,
the kitchen. Well,
I don't know if he found out Saleh was vaccinated or what the deal was and didn't want to hug him. But to me, this isn't a big deal. Like, this, don't, like, one, like.
Just play good.
Quit trying to hug me, dog. I'm a grown-ass man. We haven't won anything. All right? We're up 2 scores in a football game. We haven't won anything. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I like this.
Yeah.
I like this. This is that killer Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's
Aaron Rodgers looks pissed off, not at Saleh, but at everybody else. And he was throwing darts.
He was.
Absolutely.
That touchdown pass he threw,
darts.
Boys jumped it and still.
You couldn't have put it anywhere else. Where else are you going to put the football?
Well, that's what, like, I don't care if he goes and. That's why I said Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to go to OTAs. You know where I need Aaron Rodgers?
to be able to make it past the first three plays of the season. If he wants to go sit in a cabin in the darkness, get butt naked, take ayahuasca, and run around the woods as long as he's not doing it in public, if you're going to play like that, all here, no Jets fans will have any qualms about Aaron Rodgers if he plays like that.
With the single
but,
button.
But did it say too. More? Yeah. Did it say, and he probably did it. That's the funniest part. Does it say more about how bad the Patriots are, which I don't think it does because they took the Seahawks to the
yeah,
wire.
They
won
the
week one.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the Jets? This again, Flaming Dragon picked them to win the Super Bowl. I didn't think that was a crazy pick because we said, all right, elite defense, which looked elite last night, mm-hmm. even though the Patriots offensively are a little bit stagnant. Can the offense be explosive enough to make them a well-rounded team that if you're in the second round of the playoffs or you're in the Super Bowl and it turns into a track meet, do you got enough guys to be able to score enough to beat a Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I do think the Patriots were terrible last night, and they weren't terrible those first 2 weeks. I mean, the win over the Bengals was solid, played Seattle to what? A couple points, really. Mm-hmm. But they were bad last night. I'll let you answer because you picked the Jets to win the Super Bowl, right? You feel more confident now after watching them last night with that pick?
I do. And
you have
I know,
to, right?
You have to. Look, the Patriots, they're still NFL players on the football field. And the Patriots, look, beat the Bengals week one and then go 23-20 down to the wire with the Seahawks team. I mean, they're not a walk in the park. And I never questioned the Jets' offense, especially with Aaron at the helm. Right, you want to talk about guys who elevate play. This guy's been doing that his whole life. And the weapons that Braylon Allen looked phenomenal.
Yeah, he's
the running back from Wisconsin who went in the fourth round. Breece Hall looks healthy. Your receivers look healthy. You have a guy in Lazard.
It's the offensive line.
Yeah, true. But that helps a lot when you have that. I am the captain now, Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and you have Lazard who's been with Aaron for a long time for that comfortable piece, especially where? In the red zone. And you saw that yesterday. The
big
biggest
body.
Question after was the defense.
Yeah.
The defensive line, and I think that got solved.
All right, let's move on. Apparently, John Gruden's TikTok is just
is
going off. You guys showed me this clip of John Gruden.
John Gruden is living his best life right now. I know he wants to get back into coaching, but he started a TikTok, and I don't even know how to intro this. I'm just going to let John Gruden tell you what. All right, let's go and play it.
You know, when I was a kid growing up, my dad coached running backs at Indiana University for Lee Corso. Then he got a job coaching running backs at Notre Dame with Dan Devine. Then he got a job coaching running backs for John McKay and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love running backs. I've always loved running backs. That's why week one made me feel so nicey. I mean, I'm watching Joe Mixon carry the ball 30 times for 159 yards and a touchdown.
Got me so damn nicey.
And then I see J.K. Dobbins out all last year with an Achilles injury, rehabbing, working. He comes back as a Charger, 10 carries, 135 yards, touchdown, unbelievable.
Got me so damn nicey.
And listen, Jordan Mason, San Francisco 49ers, Monday Night Football, filling in for the great McCaffrey. Prime time. This guy runs for 149 yards and a touchdown.
Vibing, son. Chucky, baby.
Ramondre Stevenson, New England Patriots on the road in Cincinnati. Heavy, heavy underdogs. Who cares? 25 carries, 120 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, national treasure territory.
Saquon Barkley in Brazil. New team, Philadelphia Eagles. Two touchdowns, 109 yards. I love it.
This dude.
Keep it going, running backs. Woo!
Dude, John Gruden. Wow. Will he be coaching college football
he
next
needs
year?
To.
Come on down, John. Come on. Come to college. I know a place.
Bandy.
The weather's great.
Oh.
Right? A lot of people go down there to retire. Big brand. Can win big for a long time. I just love the way he says J.K. Dobbins.
Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins.
The real question is, can he come back from what happened?
I think he can.
We'll see.
I think he can. Look, just win. What do you mean? Just win. Florida fans, would you take John Gruden? I think you would. Would you forgive him? I think some fans would forgive Urban Meyer. I've already seen it, right?
He said that ship has sailed.
Well, yeah, of course it did. Sailed right into the penitentiary. But like when you look at John Gruden,
I think there can be some forgiveness there.
All right, talking about Florida, sounds like Trey Wilson has had surgery on his knee, but the surgery reportedly is not considered season-ending.
Well, depending on what happens after this weekend, I think you may see some guys start to have a surgery, and it's called redshirting, or, oh, no, I'm going to transfer after this season. It's just another weapon down for Florida, more adversity you've got to overcome. This game, I'm not touching it from a betting standpoint, the Florida-Mississippi State game, but if you're a Florida fan, man, I mean, you know, I would say it's insult to injury, but I feel like it's this is already cooked. You know, I hate it for the young man, but we'll see. Hopefully he can come back soon. And when he's able to come back, will he come back? I think that may be the even bigger question.
All right, last one up here. TCU has a new commercial.
Oh, right? Yeah, this is making fun of the CW.
And we have to watch it too.
Yeah, playing SMU on the seat. On the
Oh, do we not oh, have
we
that
don't
one?
Have that. Hey, do we have the
What about the Colts guy?
The Colts guy on here real quick. I want to play this. I had to hear this.
Oh, this one. Yeah.
So now you guys have to hear this. They have brought in the Colts cheerleaders. And listen, I'm not 100% sure. I want to make sure I'm not making fun of somebody that has a disability. I don't know if this guy does or not. What do you think, Flaming?
We all have disabilities in life.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. Let's play it then.
All right, guys, special guest here, Colts cheerleaders. Woo!
I don't know.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue.
This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them.
How is this okay?
For the shoe, beat the Bears. Let's burn down with Josh Downs. This is our team. Go Colts. Woo!
Oh. Okay. I understand that we've changed the way that we interrogate terrorists.
Some people shouldn't be allowed to vote.
No, not even that. If we wanted to get answers from terrorists, put them in a room and play this on loop over and over and over again, I give it 30 minutes. I'll actually give them an award if they make it past 30 minutes with that. I don't want to glorify it. And again, I don't know if something's wrong. At the beginning of that video, it kind of sounds like there may be something. I don't know. Y'all know more about, maybe in the chat, y'all know more about this guy than I do. But that's, I don't know how it gets worse than that, David. But see, since we had to listen to it, y'all did too. That's part of the trust tree.
Now, there's some things I wish I could say on here that I can't.
No, I don't want to. I want
but
to
this up. Song and that Linger cover have been stuck in my head for like 2 months.
Well, the Linger cover's good.
I know, but it won't get out of my head. And now this one, only thing I know, I'm picking against the Colts every week.
No, like if this was an Auburn fan.
Bears money line.
No, if this was an Auburn fan, I'd have to call the mayor.
But like listen, it's getting played. It's getting played everywhere. It's viral now. Like if he made a good song, like 10 people would listen to it. That's how society is these days.
It's bad. I mean, it's really, really, really
Make
bad.
Make it bad enough and it'll go viral.
But not as bad as if you're struggling with back taxes or unfollowed. I don't know. It may be as bad as that, now that I think about it. The IRS is escalating collections by adding 20,000 new agents. You don't want to handle this alone, all right? Or you're going to be in trouble. Kind of like that guy we just heard. It'd be a big mistake. You need a team to help you out. That's where Tax Network USA comes in first. They offer protection. It's a good offensive line. You sign up, they immediately contact the IRS. They get your protection order. Means no garnishments, levies, or property seizures. They halt that. Then compliance. All right, we don't like the NCAA, but look, sometimes you got to work through it. If you haven't filed in a while, you need amended returns, you're missing records, they'll find it. They'll update you on your filings and eliminate the risk of IRS enforcement and then settlement. All right, they're going to put a plan together. This is your offensive coordinator. They'll evaluate your financials, create a settlement strategy to reduce or eliminate your tax debt, putting it behind you for good. If you want a complimentary consultation about joining the winning team if you're in trouble, call today at 1-800-958-1000. Or visit their website at TNUSA.com/booster. That's 1-800-958-1000. Or visit TNUSA.com/booster today. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. Take advantage of them because they're the worst with Tax Network USA. All right, we got Barrett Salee coming in here in a minute. I want to get to the chat in 1 second.
I was going to Spencer. Spencer, what's up? Says, as a Florida fan, I can't wait to see Trey Wilson playing for Georgia next year.
That's the pipeline. It's the era we live in.
Let's go to Bake. He said, fellas, I don't know if you know this, but John Gruden is currently an advisor for the Milano Seamen Pro Football in Spain.
In Spain?
Wait.
Wow.
The what? The Milano what?
The Milano Seamen.
I don't believe you.
It depends on how it's spelled.
I don't believe you.
Let's get a $5 donation from CD. Appreciate it. Speaking of panic in Skywalker, if you look at Jacoby Brissett's face when he's in the pocket, it looks like he's constantly being hunted by a velociraptor.
It does. Well, guess what he plays in the NFL? He kind of is. That's what playing that position is.
All right, let's go to Adam. He said, Jake, are you serious that John Gruden could get the Florida job?
I think so. If he wanted it. I don't know if he wants it or if he wants to go into college. Sometimes these NFL guys, you know, they kind of spit on the thought of going down to college like it's a demotion, when in reality it's a lot more fun. We know that. Would Florida make a run at him? I don't know. I think it would be a lot better than other stuff Scott Strickland's done if we're going to look at the numbers. But if I was a Florida fan, like, I always think about it, you know, my perspective. If it was Auburn, I would love for them, you know, to have hired John Gruden. Not that I trust Hugh Freeze. I think, you know, Hugh's going to do a great job. You'll know how I feel about that. But if I'm a Florida fan, I would sign up for John Gruden. Now, the reality of that happening, I don't have some inside information. Maybe we can get him on the show.
All right, let's go to the Meeks. The Meeks, what's up? He says, guys, you can go ahead and book this. John Gruden will be the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks next year.
Go ahead and book it. Wow.
Book that thing? Can we screenshot that?
Is this Gruden's burner?
Can we screenshot that?
Yeah, look, if you call that one, we'll invite you up here. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Upper Room. What's up, man? Great name.
Room.
Says, guys, I just think it's really hard for Gruden to come back after they have multiple emails about what he did.
Yes, but if some coaches can survive it, all right? Like, do I think John Gruden's the worst person in the world? No. We've seen other coaches do worse things than that. Some are words, some are actions. I think winning cures all, honestly, if we're, you know, going to not beat around the bush. I think John Gruden would take it.
Bobby Petrino is putting up 700 yards of total offense each week right now.
Yeah, look at Bobby Petrino. That's exactly right.
At Arkansas.
The place that fired him.
At Arkansas.
He gets a lifetime supply of volleyball coaches and neck braces. All right. Speaking of, well, don't know how to segue this one. I don't think Barrett's ever been on a motorcycle.
Hey, Barrett. You're welcome, Barrett.
Our buddy from college football, smothered and covered and all type of other rubbers.
Love the Discord.
Barrett Salee is on out kick, helps with the Braves, does a little bit of everything. Barrett, what's up, dude?
I was wondering how you were going to segue like neck brace to me, but I am a conspiracy theorist. I don't think he got into a motorcycle wreck. I think
he got
wrecked.
Yeah, and not in the good way. Barrett, I do want to ask you, when you look at college football, and something that Flaming Dragon actually tweeted out, want to make sure and give him his flowers there. Barrett, is there a team outside of the SEC or the Big Ten that can win the national championship this year, in your opinion?
Oh, man. Miami, maybe?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Outside of that, though, like not make the playoff, but win it.
Notre Dame? I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'd probably be Miami. I was not a big Cam Ward believer. Like, I thought he was a stat monster and that's it. You combine him with that defense, you might have something there. I'm still Cade Klubnik. I would love to see him get hot at some point. I just don't know if it's feasible at this point. In the Big 12, I don't know. Just roll a dice.
Utah, maybe? Cam Rising healthy? I mean, that would be...
That sounds like a Ron Burgundy reading the teleprompter with a question mark at the end.
Yeah.
Utah?
I mean...
Oklahoma State?
No, Oklahoma State's not good enough.
Oklahoma State defense. I just think Utah... When you look at my...
Well, they forgot that Ollie Gordon exists. Like, Ollie Gordon forgot that Ollie Gordon exists. Like, he's still getting the carries. He's just not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's... With Utah, I do think, and the same reason for Miami, and we can talk about Cam Ward, and we can talk about Cam Rising. That's a coincidence I didn't even think about. But it's the line of scrimmage, right? If you're going to win a national championship, if you're going to beat, you know, the Ohio States and the Georgias and some of these teams to actually win it, you got to be good enough up front and deep enough up front when we get to that point. Outside of Miami and Utah, I don't think anybody's good enough up front to do it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I think those two would probably be it. I think Clemson's in a situation because of its defensive line. If you continue to get hot, or Cade Klubnik remembers how to throw footballs downfield or figures it out for the first time, then maybe. But you're right. I think outside of Miami, maybe Utah, that's about it.
Well, with Clemson,
trying to figure out.
With Clemson, I think these young skill guys at the wide receiver position are going to be in a lot different place at the end of the year.
Yes,
that's why I kept
exactly.
saying against Georgia, like, this is not the team to burst onto
it's
the
not,
scene
it's
against
not, it, it
as a freshman.
It is not the final product. It
so
is not
now
a
you've
final
seen
product.
It, maybe Clemson, because again, that defensive line, Clemson got a top five defense. I don't care what
yeah,
anybody
like everyone
says.
Was knocking Clemson's defense after that Georgia game. I'm like, did you see how they kept them in
Watch
the game
them
for three
run
quarters?
Around.
Because I saw them keeping the game for three quarters.
That's Clemson looks like Clemson's old defense when they get off the bus. But yeah. That's how they're supposed yeah. to look. And most of their yes. best players are young. Sammy Brown, Peter Woods, all these cats they have. They just got to – I just don't think they'll be good enough on offense.
But the problem with Clemson hasn't been defense. That's,
no.
that's
yeah,
the
that
thing.
Is true.
It's
yeah.
reverse Lincoln
yeah.
Riley. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Barrett, Arch Manning's going to get his first start this weekend for Arch Manning. What's the ceiling for Texas with Quinn Ewers at quarterback, in your opinion? And
National
what's the ceiling? Okay, so what's the ceiling then for Texas if Arch Manning has to play the entire season and Quinn Ewers still deals with injuries?
College football playoff, not a national. Look, Arch Manning mania, you could see this coming from a mile away, right? We live mm-hmm. in an SEO society. And the moment Arch Manning came in, everybody had it. Who is Arch Manning? What does Arch Manning do as a high school recruit? What did he wear as his pajamas when he was a 3-year-old? Everybody wants to talk about Arch Manning.
Yeah, Wolverine.
It's like, who didn't? Although he's younger than all of us. We're old guys. So maybe the Utes are doing something different these days. But look, it's one game against UTSA. And you go back and watch that. Yeah, he made some great throws. He also made some bad decisions that just... Yeah. You know, didn't result in interceptions or whatever. You need to see more from him in order to think that he can lead his team to a national championship. I know Quinn Ewers can. And the idea that suddenly Quinn Ewers is getting Wally Pipped or Drew Bledsoe'd, I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah. did I miss something where Quinn has led his team to within one pass of going to a national championship game and Arch lit up UTSA?
Well, like, there will be a segment.
One of these things is not like the other.
There will be a segment of just remember I said this because, again, look, fans short for fanatical. We all know that. There will be a segment of Texas fans, David, that after Arch Manning lights up ULM and maybe rushes for 100 yards are like, we need to play Arch Manning because he can run
See,
it too.
Jake,
and
I disagree
realize,
with you.
No, there'll be a segment that say it. You don't think there will
no,
be.
No. I think it's the other way around. I think Texas fans are like, this is a stupid conversation. Arch is not our quarterback. It is Quinn Ewers. And then everybody else is like, oh, that Arch Manning guy. I think Texas fans, like from the Texas fans I've talked to, I don't think a single one has thought, yeah, you know what? He might unseat Quinn Ewers. They know Quinn's good. They understand Quinn's good. And I think outside there's just so much desire to keep the momentum of this going from our perspective in the media because it draws eyeballs to the sport. And that's always a good thing. If you have Screamin' A. Smith or somebody else that doesn't watch college football screaming about anything that has to do with college football, that's a good thing. But to me, I don't think it's the Texas fan base. I think the Texas fan base is the exact opposite.
A segment
Dare I say,
of
I think no. I disagree.
So you're saying Barrett Selly, wait, Barrett, you're
I mean
saying
almost universally
that the whole Texas fan base is rational. That's what
well,
you're
there
saying.
There might be one or two guys.
So a segment. Okay, that's all I need to
well,
say.
Well, I want to see. But here's the thing. Like, I think it's the I think the fanatical aspect of it. The fanatical aspect of it is outside of that. That bubble.
Okay.
I honestly
okay.
think
okay.
that Texas, the fan base, generally speaking, it understands why Arch stayed, why Quinn has become the starter and been the starter for 2 years, and is okay with that because of this exact situation. They knew Arch could come in. They knew Arch can lead Texas to victories and be a superstar back there, but not as big of a superstar as Quinn, who I think they realize can lead you to a national championship.
We'll ask you the same question the week after Texas plays Georgia.
Yeah.
If Texas
That's
runs
the,
in yeah.
problems. I want to see how they react when things are going wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's when the backup quarterback turns into the what? Turns into the hero. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Barrett, one team I want to talk about, I don't want to look forward too much, but I am going to a little bit. We got a pretty big one next week against Georgia, Alabama. What was your thoughts from Alabama versus Wisconsin? And do you think Jalen Milroe has grown as a passer, especially in the pocket?
Yeah, I can't wait. We'll be there for that one. I think I was surprised with Alabama. I thought that some of the issues from the South Florida game were going to persist, most notably the penalties, because we've seen Alabama really struggle with penalties that time.
Yeah.
I thought that would, going into Camp Randall, I was like, that's not a good thing. Like that's almost impossible to overcome. I was wrong. And so I was very impressed with how they just operated in that environment. I think with Jalen, I've using him on the ground because they don't like, I love Jam Miller. They don't have like that true bruiser, right? They have to find a way to, I'm doing hibachi hands like Nick Saban. I really, really apologize.
No, I love hibachi.
Good, dude.
I had hibachi for lunch today. No,
some cultures, all they eat is throw up. Oh, please, Barrett, continue.
I think they're going to use Jalen a lot on the ground. I think they're going to consistently do that. I don't think that they have a guy who they trust as an every down back. So they're going to use Jalen in that situation. And it opens up passing over the middle. You know, he's gotten better on the slants and those short routes. And a lot of that is because, you know, linebackers have to account for him as a running threat. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he's done a great job. I think the offense is tailored to fit him. But when you have offensive line issues, things can go awry because can he carry a game with his arm? Probably not. But this was the first time, at least against Wisconsin, that he had his full complement of offensive linemen and they actually played together and worked as a unit. So, but I'm fine with the way he's developed. I think he's working fine within the offense, at least with what he excels at. Has he developed, you know, a ton? Not a ton, but he doesn't really have to.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to the chat here. Peter M. has a question for you, Barrett. He says, anybody outside of Ohio State in the Big Ten, do you really trust them to be good enough to win a national championship?
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Say it. Say it. We're going to find out more this weekend, Barrett, but I know what you're going to say. Say it.
USC.
Yeah.
That pains me.
What about Oregon? It pains me to say. What about Oregon? What do you think?
Okay, but that's one game removed from two really bad games. I say USC, like they... I don't know if you guys saw, they figured out this new thing that they're doing in college football called tackling.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's like this new new phenomenon. They figured out how to do it. And
that and run two high safeties, Barrett. It's amazing. Apparently, there's this new thing on defense. We have two high safeties. Ask Mel Kiper. He'll tell you.
Oh, my God. What was that all about?
Dude, I don't know. Like,
falling apart at the end.
Falling apart. Throwing a grenade as he walks out of the room.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, I mean, I think it's USC. Look, I'd love to see more of Miller Moss. You know, he hasn't... We talked about him against LSU, but he had just sort of an okay game, and I think we all sort of expect him to do more things. But if they play defense the way they've been playing defense, they're awesome. With Oregon... I don't know, man. Like, they kept losing at the line of scrimmage against Idaho and Boise State. And okay, yeah, they played good against their rival and they won that battle up front. You know, I gave Dan Lanning the benefit of the doubt before the season.
I did
too. After the first two games, I'm like, does he deserve it? And then it's one game, it looked okay. I hate to dodge the question about Oregon.
You didn't dodge it. That's the
truth. I have no idea.
Yeah, like I'm the same way. I thought Oregon was going to dominate up front. I thought Dylan Gabriel was going to be such a great compliment to them just bashing people's brains in on the line
and
of scrimmage.
They don't do it.
On both
they
sides of the ball. Done it. Dude, Oregon State was running the ball pretty well. Like they just couldn't stop them. Like I don't know. I'm with you a little bit on that, man.
All right, let's go to Matthew Cofield with a $2 donation. Matthew, thank you. Says, Barrett, does Auburn have a chance to win more than six games?
More than six. Yeah, I had him at 8-4, but I had him beating Cal. You know, I'm going to steal a line from our good friend Danny Cannell, and he says it with tongue firmly in cheeks, the smaller the better, because the smaller the playbook, the better Auburn plays. I don't know why Hugh Freeze consistently tried to make Peyton Thorne throw himself out of slumps. I do not understand it, and he consistently did it. So by paring down the playbook, maybe focusing a little bit more on Jarquez Hunter and actually giving Hank Brown like three specific things to work on and not, you know, give him an NFL style playbook, they'll be okay. But the schedule is really tough. Like I thought that, I guess it depends on what we see from Oklahoma this week for me to properly gauge kind of where they're, because they can't run the ball either. Their offensive line is terrible. But so winning more than six games. Yeah, probably. they have a chance to do that. Would I bet on it? No. But having Kentucky fall off the face of the earth certainly helps, because mm-hmm. that was kind of, to me anyway, viewed as a toss-up game in Lexington.
Yeah.
I don't know about Kentucky's offense, man.
To me, do you think the Peyton Thorne thing was, I'm going to prove to y'all I was right about keeping, like, yes. not getting a portal QB? Do you think it was a little bit of a pride thing? Especially after that first drive against yes. Cal. You're like, man, Alabama A&M shredded them. Cal, first drive, throwing it all over the place. It's like, boom, it's like my golf swing off the tee box. I'm slicing yep. it. Therefore, let me just swing harder.
I can relate to that 100%. No, it's the same thing that's happening with Mike Norvell and DJ Uiagalelei. Right. I'm going to prove you that what I think is true. And I'm the smartest man in this room. And I think Hugh got married to Peyton Thorne after last season way too early without getting a proper gauge of the transfer portal market. And now we had dug his heels in and finally had to make the change. And I think that's exactly what happened. And, you know, the same thing with Mike Norvell. By God, I'm going to be the guy that fixes him. I'm going to be the coach that has the magic potion to make this thing work. And it's not. It didn't work for Mike Norvell, and it didn't work for Peyton Thorne with Hugh Freeze either.
Yeah, I'm just convinced Auburn needs an ugly quarterback. We just need to go get some ugly country boy, like with a messed up face. Just get somebody. I don't care if he looks like the Joker off the Dark Knight. Just the pretty boy Floyd stuff. Just think, we'll see with Hank Brown. We'll see. Who knows? But Barrett, it's always great when you stop by, my friend. Please tell everybody where they can find your fantastic content. And we may see you at the Alabama-Georgia game.
That's what you call a tease. That was much better than the way
the segue
I got
in here.
Yeah, that was much better. Yeah, you can subscribe to College Football Smothered and Covered on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get that stuff. Got columns up at Outkick. And SiriusXM, I got to babysit Tom Luganville on Sunday mornings on Channel 84. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're going to get him on. Barrett, it's always great to see you, buddy.
Barrett, see you, bud.
Later, boys.
All right, see Barrett Salee, one of the best in the business. You know, it's funny, speaking about ugly players, that's why my dad said he always played good. He'd have to make 15 tackles a game just to be able to go on a date with a chick. Yeah. That's what you need sometimes, you I think. Oh, we got the TCU video quickly before we get to Locks, Lanes, and Dogs. Here's TCU trolling having to play on the CW. This is award-winning stuff. Let's play it.
How does uniforms get so hard?
All of our representatives are currently busy. Please stay on the line.
Oh. You better win.
Oh, yeah. Now you better win.
Shredded.
But I agree. I don't think football should come on the same channel that shows the Gilmore Girls.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm old school, David. Maybe I'm old fashioned.
Hey, man, the Gilmore Girls isn't terrible.
I don't know how to feel about one of my locks right now after that commercial. We'll get to it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go and bring the phone lines are going to open. We're going to get to them in 1 second. Let's bring up our locks, leans, and dogs quickly. All right. Here we go. Lock in. Vibe with me. All right. Everybody close their eyes and just listen. Here's my locks. Colorado at home against Baylor. They're going to stalemate up front, which if that's the case, I'll take Colorado's skill players over Baylor's. Colorado money line, -125. And then Ole Miss. Total team points. Vibe with me here. Breathe in. Breathe out. Over 49.5 against Georgia Southern. Didn't play great against Wake last week. Lane's trying to win Jackson the Heisman. That's why he didn't want to go to 10-minute quarters or 5-minute quarters against Furman or the school of the blind and illiterate, whatever, week one. Give me the TTP over 49.5 at -140. Then we're going to lean with it and then rock with it. USC Michigan, under 45.5. I got the Texas Michigan under when it came out. I bought this one up and it ended up being right in the end. I got it at 45.5, under that at -142. And then we're going to spark up a Cignetti and we're going to smoke it together in victory. Give me Indiana, -27.5 home against Charlotte. Their coach is just saying, his name's Biff, number one, which is awesome. He's just saying crazy stuff and it's great. They're going to get murdered though.
Indiana minus 27.5 at minus 132. And then my dogs. James Madison. Lock it back in. Money line at North Carolina, having some quarterback issues. I know everybody's hot to trot on this one. And Cignetti's not at JMU anymore. All right, but they still got a good quality football team. I think they got Austin Peay's coaching staff over there. I think that's right. Give me him on the money line at plus a funny 320. And then Coastal Carolina, beautiful school. It's on the beach. All right, beautiful women, beautiful times, beautiful game plan against Virginia this week on the money line, plus 142. They embarrass Jacksonville State week zero. All right, so I'm going to ride with you guys. Don't make me look stupid. Let's go to the coast and make the most money line.
I like it. I like it. Show some pride, Georgia Southern. Don't let Ole Miss just have their way with you on that TTP right there.
Have their way with them.
Don't let them do it. Let's go to TCU Moneyline minus 125 at SMU. How should I feel about it right now after that commercial? Should I double down on it or back
Look,
off?
You ever been to Ireland?
I don't think I have.
Because we be Dublin.
We be Dublin. All right, TCU money line, minus 125. Lock it in. Then my second lock, I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee, minus 6.5, minus 10.
All right,
10.
All right.
Can't wait for this football game. Right. Then I'm leaning Rutgers, plus 3.5, minus 115 on the road at Virginia Tech. And since Metallica is not playing at the game, I'm going to go ahead and take Rutgers with the points. I don't think it'd be a bad idea to go ahead and just take a money line as a dog pick, plus 136, but I'll leave that up to you. Give me Utah money line minus 115. You said the line switched again, Jake?
Switched again. Well, it was. Remember, Utah was a dog, and then it flipped back. So I don't know if Cam Rising. It's just like
who knows.
Cam Rising's
we don't know if Cam Rising plays. I feel really good about Utah money line. If he doesn't play, I don't feel quite as good. But I'm still leaning it in right there. And then how about my dogs? Let's go Arkansas money
Not a
line
bad bet.
Plus 120.
Not
Bobby P.
Bet.
Sam Pittman. A lot of offense in this game. I like it. And then Cal money line plus 114 at Florida State. How is Florida State still favored in any football game they play? How are they still the favorite in any game against
the
Cal team that I saw go on the road and beat Auburn at the Plains? Give me Cal money line as my second dog
Lost
pick, plus 114.
I love it. There's no relaxing when we're rolling through our picks. David, hit that air horn.
Which
I
one you want? You want air horn?
Let's go, baby. I am stealing all the money from the bookies this weekend. It's all mine, and no one else can have it unless you're subscribed to Crane & Company. First of all, we're going to go with the Nittany Lions, all right? Penn State, minus 46.5 against minus 140 against Kent State? Why wouldn't I bet this after what Tennessee took Kent State to the Diddy party last weekend? Like, come on. They're an easy bet. Roll with it. Notre Dame, minus 26.5, going off at minus 130. They're playing Miami, Ohio. Ben Roethlisberger's not there. And I don't know if you heard Alabama took their kicker. So anyway, let's go to leans. We're leaning here. Michael Jackson video. Tennessee, minus 6.5, minus 110. I love this bet. I think Tennessee is a better football team than Oklahoma, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is a double-digit win. Miami, a lot of controversy in this pick. Hashtag, I don't care. I know what I see. Miami minus 16.5 against USF. I believe that game's up to 17 now. I don't care who the coach is at USF. They can't throw it, whether it's goalish, whether it's the Dark Emperor himself. It doesn't matter. Cam Ward, stat monster. No, he's just a dog. All right, then give me my dog picks. Michigan. Money
Whoa.
Line plus 160. USC this, USC that. LSU can't run the ball, but I know a team that can, and they probably won't throw it more than twice.
Nope.
Give me Michigan money line plus 160. And oh, Blaine, you're an Auburn fan. This Blaine, Auburn ain't sent me a check. Give me Arkansas money line. Might be the best bet of all weekend. Auburn's looked terrible on both sides of the ball, and I've seen Arkansas go, and they win against Oklahoma State. I will trust the athletes Arkansas has and Bobby Petrino. Let's win some money, boys.
I'm so fired up right now.
At least half of the time when Flaming Dragon was reading that, I was making Robert De Niro face.
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
We'll take it.
That means
we'll
it's a that. Good locks, leans, and dogs.
We'll
segment.
See. We'll see. All right, let's get to the phone lines.
All right, phone lines. Let's see. Who's up first? Devil Doc in Indiana. Devil Doc, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up?
All right, so I got a pretty hot take here, but looking at the schedule and the standings, my hot take is, and bear with me because I know it sounds crazy, Georgia does not make the college football playoff this year.
All right.
All right. Thanks
call,
for calling, man.
Thanks so much.
I want to hear more.
How?
I want to hear more.
Is there a fire?
All right. So four of the next five games are going to be against Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Texas.
Yeah.
I think I think they win one of those games.
Wow.
That's going to be against Tennessee in a close game.
So you got Georgia going 8-4.
I think they lose three out of those four games, yes.
Oh, I thought he said four out of the next five. So it'd be three. So it'd be 9-3. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, and honestly, they could go 2-2 in those four big games. And Ole Miss is undefeated right now. Texas, Tennessee, Alabama, all undefeated. If two of those teams run the table and one has one loss, they're not going to – I don't think they're going to put a fourth SEC team in that has two losses when you have one conference championship and you're going to put two of the one-loss teams in.
If there's ever a team that gets into the playoff that's 10-2, it's going to be Georgia.
Especially if Notre Dame doesn't make it.
And especially if they lose to Texas and Ole Miss.
Especially if Notre Dame doesn't make it. Now, three losses, I think they're out. Two losses with that schedule after beating Clemson, and then Clemson's probably going to win double-digit games with their schedule. I think Georgia gets in. But I tell you what, I'll say this, Double Doc. Would I just be absolutely shocked if Georgia lost three games with that schedule kind of after what we've seen? I would be surprised, but I wouldn't just be like knocked out into the fourth shot. But we'll see. We'll know you'll call back in, and we'll see if that that prediction comes to fruition, man.
We'll see. Appreciate it, Devil Doc.
Thanks, Devil Doc.
All right, let's go to Craig in California. Craig, what's going on, man?
What is up, boys? How you doing on this Flaming Dragon Friday?
Yeah, Craig, I love it. The energy.
Yeah, I know you guys love it. Okay. I want to talk about that New Orleans Saints offense and the difference night and day under Clint Kubiak as their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. It is just absolutely crazy how good their offense looks, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, I had to play against Alvin Kamara last week in fantasy.
And I think a lot of it has to do with Derek Carr, to be honest. I think the pressure of Spencer Rattler, especially in camp, pushed Derek to another level. And Shaheed's turning into a complete receiver and not just
helped.
A deep threat, and that helps a lot. And Alvin Kamara looks like old school Alvin Kamara. So the Saints have a lot of good things going for him right now.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've noticed throughout Derek's career, I follow him because he went to Fresno State, my favorite team. One of his greatest strengths has been his play action passing. And now under this offense with Clint Kubiak, they run play action on 52% of his dropbacks, which is number one in the league. After finishing dead last in that category.
And you know
so
what?
This offense is playing right to his strength, and he's playing at an elite level right now.
And the only way that works is if you can legitimately run the ball. And what Kamara's doing, what Taysom Hill is doing, they can legitimately run the ball, Craig. And again, balance keeps you on the beam, whether that's in the NFL, whether that's Friday Night Tykes. That's the name of the game when it comes to football, brother. But we'll see. See if they can keep rolling. I mean, you know, there's some questions about the Panthers. Obviously, we know that. But, I mean, they went and did it against the Cowboys, and it looked just as easy. So, I'm all in with you right now, man. That division's looking a little bit better than what we thought, huh?
Appreciate it, Craig.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I just want to say one thing. I think the ceiling for the Saints this year is 13-4, and I think that could be enough to give them the number one seed in the NFC and have the road to the Super Bowl in New Orleans go through the Caesar Superdome in the Big Easy.
It's always fun when New Orleans is good, that's for sure.
Yeah, you could tell there hadn't been a murder in 18 days in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Wow, something to celebrate.
I'll tell you what.
All right, appreciate it, Craig. Thanks, man. All right, let's go to the coffee guy in Tennessee. Hope that's Black Rifle Coffee.
Well, something like that. So I have a few things to say. I walked outside today and the sun was shining and I immediately knew that it was a sign that only Voltar would understand. Something about Tennessee being interesting again. I don't know. It's been a few years since that happened and it's good to see the Voltars in good spirits.
Can you handle calls for 1 second?
Yeah.
I've got an emergency I got to deal with.
Okay.
Yeah, Voltar. I mean,
coffee guy. What happened with Voltar?
He said some interesting things about Tennessee. So I walked outside, I saw the sun. I immediately knew it was a sign that only he would be able to translate, only that he would be able to understand, something that he would put the rent on. I just want to say a few things about Oklahoma. I think Jackson Arnold is, there's a few things in the playbook that Seth Luttrell didn't show until last week. The quarterback run game didn't really become part of the game plan until last week. Then there's a little ace in the back pocket, a guy named Michael Hawkins, who only played in one game this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sneaky, sneaky fast. And I think they can make things very interesting for Tennessee if that game's close in the fourth quarter.
Are you a Tennessee fan or are you an Oklahoma fan?
I'm an Oklahoma fan.
Living in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's tough. Behind enemy lines. I think so, too. The biggest thing with Oklahoma is you have to establish some sort of a run game against Tennessee if you really want to open your playbook. And they haven't been able to run the ball at a high clip all year. I'm really interested in Jackson Arnold's feet in this game. Usually when you have a D-line like this from Tennessee who's fast and big, the quarterback's legs can be the difference in this game. So I wonder how many quarterback design runs we'll see Saturday with Jackson Arnold.
That's interesting, too. I agree with you on the run game part of it, because another part of what that does is that's going to chew up clock, right?
Yeah.
Which, again, you and I were talking about earlier in the preview prediction breakout that we put out, like how much keep away are they going to try and play?
Yeah.
Like how much ground attack is that actually a part of the strategy just to keep Nico on the sideline? Again, that's easier for teams where that's your true identity. Like when I was watching Arizona State play the other day and it's like, hey, we want to give the ball to Cam Scadabo as much as possible, or your Michigan or your Iowa, those kind of teams. Obviously, it's easier. That's why you build your identity around that. With Oklahoma, I'm wondering how much does that shift their identity? Maybe the quarterback run game you're talking about helps with that. But then again, I keep thinking, well, one of the things we haven't even seen so much from Tennessee is the quarterback run game. Are they saving it for a game like this?
True.
Which that gets into the conversation we have with Clay Travis, which Clay Travis is our guest picker this week, y'all. So make sure that you don't miss that. That's going to be coming out tonight. And that was a great, great conversation. But Coffee Guy, I want to know two things from you. One, your prediction for the game. And two, tell me, where are you watching this game and what's the setup going to be since you're an Oklahoma fan living in Tennessee?
I'm going to be camped out on my couch in front of the TV,
yes,
ask my wife to bring me chips and salsa and drinks. And
good wife.
Then, yeah, she's amazing. She also hates the color burnt orange. So that
you're winning, brother.
Yeah.
You're winning in every facet.
Yeah, great. Call me a homer. I think Oklahoma's home atmosphere gets to Nico. And I predict at least two turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
The game's close going into the fourth, and it's a walk-off field goal by Oklahoma.
Okay.
Wow, I love it.
All right. Win 22-20.
I think if Oklahoma's going to win this game, they got to keep Tennessee under 30 points.
There you go. All right, if that happens, I need to hear from you next week. You
better call
me
in.
Yeah, we're going to need you to call in.
I will be calling in.
Yeah, all right. Well, since you mentioned Voltar's name, here he is. Voltar,
hey, bud,
in North Carolina. What's up, man?
Well, I, too, am also outside. I'm just staring at the sun.
You're staring at the sun?
You know,
that makes sense.
That's what's wrong with it.
I'm staring at the sun, and, you know, it's honestly building my eyesight to kind of realize the problems with his argument, because how are you holding something back on offense against Houston when you barely went 16-12, when I'm pretty sure Kent State could probably beat Houston? And that's, I don't know.
Whoa.
I'm just saying that's how bad Houston and Kent State are. Look, follow me here. Follow me down the path. Tennessee has a run game. They also have 12 guys on the defensive line. I can seriously see myself, it's fourth quarter, you know, they're playing the Toby Keith song, and then they pan it out to the stadium, and half the crowd's gone because Tennessee's up at least by three scores. And I think the final score is going to be Tennessee 41, Oklahoma 13.
Ooh, so just a stomping.
Yeah, I'm so surprised.
Brian singing Toby Keith.
Oh, don't bring Toby Keith into this, man.
We all get our butts whooped every once in a while.
Maybe this is what's going to establish Trash Talk Fridays. Maybe this little interaction.
Yeah, I think so. It fits, right? I really think so. Trash Talk Friday fits.
Sorry about that, guys. I got a text from my wife that said emergency. She's almost 6 months pregnant. So
good?
Yeah. Apparently, our dogs escaped from the backyard and were running all over the neighborhood.
No.
So that's what
Millie?
Yeah, we found them, though.
Okay. You better get her.
Man,
scared me.
God, you miss so much. You miss Voltar calling in saying,
"Oh, good, yeah." Now I get to talk to Jot.
Now you're even more scared.
Yeah, no, good. Hey, let's talk sports. All right, all right.
Glad we dodged a bullet on that one. Though. Appreciate it, Josh.
Josh.
All right,
you'll never beat me in a fight.
I was gonna say we're international, but this is Hawaii, so it's still America, but it's still out there. Ethan in Hawaii, what's going on, man?
Hey, boys, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Good connection.
All right, you know, you're actually not too far off on the international thing, because one of the things I want to say, well, first of all, I appreciate you guys, right? When Clay Travis left, outkicked the coverage, there was a void in my life, I got to say, with sports content. And you guys filled that hole in my life, if you know what I'm saying. You heard me.
Wow. So, hey, right here.
But appreciate besides that. Yeah. So all of last football season, by the way, first time caller, long time listener, been with you guys since the beginning, since
that's love, you know, son. Since, that's love.
Filling that void in my life. Yeah, and other thing I wanted to say was, like, all of last football season, I missed it, right? So football, just like you guys have talked about, huge point of bonding for me and my boys, and my daughter as well. She's into it. But I was deployed all last football season. I was gone. I was overseas. So, you know, you do have international fans. Whenever I could, I was listening to you guys all across the Middle East, across Europe, wherever I was. And so I appreciate you guys, you know, giving me a little bit of taste of home, a little taste of football while I was out there.
Man,
last thing I want to say is when, by the time I got back, you know, kept on getting extended over and over again, didn't know when I was getting back. I got back just in time to surprise my kids with tickets to the Charlotte Regional of March Madness, and it was awesome because we missed all football season, but we got in that March Madness. We were living in North Carolina at the time, you know, fast forward now in Hawaii, but, you know, that's pretty much it, guys. I got 100 things I want to say because I've been listening a long time, but, you know, that's pretty much it. I appreciate you.
Man. And, hey, round of applause for Ethan. Let's go,
man. Right. That shit gets
thank
me hot.
Okay, God,
it's my ears going to explode. Ethan, I want to say first off, thank you for your service, brother. And everything that you're doing. And again, that's why we do it, man. That's, you know, kind of the community that we've tried to build here. That's a great call, brother. Hopefully we can keep it going for you and win some bets too. I don't know.
We got to send something to Ethan.
Yeah, we need to send something.
We're going to get you something, all right?
No, it's, you get excited. I love when you get excited. Ethan, we need to send you something, bro.
Hit us up on, if you got social, hit us up on social. Send us a message, man, so that we can get in touch with you. And, we appreciate you giving us a chance. And if you're a Clay Travis fan, like I said, that's the Saturday special. This week's going to come out tonight, so make sure you check that out.
I'm on it. I appreciate that. And the last thing I'll say is I'm a Navy alum, so I'm with you on that Navy side of the Notre Dame rivalry there.
Yeah.
I'm a Marine. Just to clarify, I'm not in the Navy here, but, you know, a Navy alum. So I'm with you on that debate there. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it, man. Great call, brother.
Great call.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
That's how you call in on a Friday.
Yeah, that's man. That really gets me. All right, let's go to Isaiah in Alabama. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Zay?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? How y'all feeling?
Good, brother. Man, how you?
It's Friday, baby. We got football on, and all weekend. I'm couldn't be better.
Yeah, man, it's pretty dope. Blaine, we went to school together. Don't remember if you remember Opelika, Alabama.
I need some stories, Isaiah.
Blaine didn't go
I know
to
you
school?
Got the stories. Man.
middle school. I got some.
What's your last name start with?
Carr, C-A-R-R.
Zay, what up?
What up, boy?
What's up, yeah, dude? Man. How you been, man? Everything good?
Everything's great, man. I got 4 kids now. You know,
God, bro. Dude.
Do you really?
Let's go, man. Yeah, that's, man. I'm so happy for you, bro.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. When you last time I saw Blaine, Florida was good. So yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Hey, we need to link up soon, dude.
Years. That's funny, man.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I live in Tuscaloosa now, so come holler at me.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, I'll be down there next weekend.
Yeah, we'll be there next
week. We'll be there for the Georgia game.
Yeah, come to Innisfree.
Hey, I will. Hey, hit my line, brother. I am free.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, John Gruden is not the answer for Florida. It is definitely Kiffin. Kiffin is the only guy. And the reason that I say that is because Kiffin, if the whole thing blows up when Napier gets fired, he's the only guy that's tried and true with the transfer portal to be able to pull some guys.
I get that.
Immediately.
Mm. Yeah. And the so name that's recognition.
The only guy.
That's a good point.
I agree with that. I mean,
good point.
You know, it's, again, to a lesser extent, is kind of a little bit like Bill O'Brien going to Boston College. They announced Bill O'Brien was going there, and a lot of those guys, especially on offense, were like, all right, I'll hear him out.
I will say one thing on that, though. You'd rather get the best possible coach in there for the long term, even if it means you hemorrhage a bit through the transfer portal. And I only say that because, you know, Michigan's kind of dealing with this right now, and it's still very early in Sharon Moore's tenure, but he was the best possible pick to elevate to replace Jim Harbaugh, especially to keep that culture and the roster intact. But if he ends up not being the right guy for Michigan long term, you know, you could say, well, we would have rather taken a couple more players like Keon Saab, who entered the transfer portal and went to Bama. We would have rather given that hit up to get an even better coach in. But when it comes to Lane Kiffin, I think you're also getting the highest quality coach possible. Isaiah, quickly, do you think John Gruden or Urban Meyer will coach again? John Gruden would be coaching in college for the first time, but on any level?
I think John would definitely coach. I think he'll probably end up as a coordinator before head coach. Urban, I think Urban's on the beach. I think he's chilling. I don't think he's going to do a college. I think it's good. And, you know, he came out and said that that ship has sailed, sort of, and I mean, it kind of broke my heart a little bit because I was hoping he would at least be an intern or something like that to try to get as many vultures off the team as possible. But I think
that might be
what I will say.
Pete Carroll might take that role at USC.
Watch out if it doesn't work out with Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. I think that's one job. Now, we'll see.
Did you hear him this week? He said that Florida and Notre Dame came open at the same time when he was at Utah. And he's Irish Catholic. Notre Dame was his dream job. But he picked Florida instead because he could just recruit the state of Florida and be home with his kids each night rather than being at Notre Dame and having to recruit L.A. and all these different big
ones. Yeah, it matters.
Fly. But he's already been at Florida now. And if that job came open.
And that ship sailed.
I think he would take it. But either way, Isaiah, that's a great call. We'll see you next
weekend. Hey, great talking to you, Zay. I'll see you next weekend.
Hey, man, good talking to you too, Blaine. I'll see you next week.
Hell yeah, dude, that's awesome.
All right, let's go to Arkansas and talk to Matthew. Big one for the Hogs this weekend, man.
What's up, boys? It is the Heartbroken Hog here.
What's up, man?
The Flaming Dragon Friday.
You already know.
Yeah, they're doing a pretty good job, not going to lie.
Well, today I actually wanted to ask you guys about the Malik Willis revenge game coming this weekend. And Matt LaFleur, who I think is showing everyone that he is a top five coach in the NFL in this league. I mean, last weekend, Malik Willis has been there for 3 weeks, traded for him at the cutoff day. They run for like 260 yards, and Willis throws his first ever touchdown.
They just got something cooking.
No, it's amazing how much of an organization can help a quarterback.
It really is. And Jordan Love's a hell of a player. Like, I think Jordan's very talented. But, you know, culture is kind of a buzzword that gets thrown around. I think it's used a little bit too much. But that doesn't mean it's not a real thing. We all know it is. It just seems like – and think about it. Green Bay lost Aaron Jones, brought in Josh Jacobs. Like, there's been turnover – but it seems like LaFleur has really got his finger on the pulse of that locker room, and guys come in there and elevate their play to the organization, not the other way around. So it's they got a good thing going, and until Jordan gets back, I mean, look, it wasn't just like Malik, you know, made those to wide open guys. I mean, he made that touchdown pass he threw, that out was a hell of a throw. So his ability to run it too, man, we'll see if they can keep it going.
Hey, Matthew, what's your prediction for Auburn, Arkansas this weekend?
34-27, the Hogs run wild in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No, me not.
Surprise me, but I hope you're heartbroken by this time.
I love it. Yeah, appreciate it, Matthew.
See you, Matthew.
Thanks,
man. Have a good one.
All right, let's go to another Matthew in Atlanta, Georgia. Matthew, what's up?
Yo, what's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, look, I've gotten some flack online for sharing this opinion, but I just want to see what y'all have to say. Does Auburn have a freeze problem? Or was it really a Peyton Thorne problem? Or, you know,
well,
I just don't know about this game day coaching.
Well, here's what I will say, and you know, something we say on the show all the time is that, you know, football is a game that's won by players while coaches watch and talk about it. The roster, and two things can be true at once. The roster isn't where it needs to be yet. It was going to take time, even with the transfer portal, to build it. But I do think Auburn has missed at quarterback with Peyton Thorne. And you can't miss 3 years in a row going into next year. We'll see how it works with Hank Brown. But I think we've seen Peyton Thorne struggle enough over time, not just at Auburn, but also at Michigan State, outside of the year they had the Avengers on offense with Keon Coleman and Kenneth Walker and Jaden Reed and those guys, that I do think it's mainly Peyton Thorne. We've seen Hugh Freeze beat Alabama twice, beat him with Bo Wallace. We've seen the quarterbacks under Hugh Freeze. We were just talking about Malik Willis, what he's doing at the Packers now. So I don't think it's as much as the buck stops with the head coach. But as far as the
play calling on game day, maybe throwing it too much after you got some of that fool's gold with the first drive against Cal, you can maybe make that point. But when I watch Auburn just run around overall, the roster's not where it needs to be, but missing at quarterback is kind of inexcusable after we saw Peyton Thorne last year.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think two things can be true at once. I don't think Auburn has the talent yet right now, but you can see Hugh Freeze is bringing in that talent. The guy's absolutely on fire when it comes to recruiting. And another thing is Hugh Freeze is supposed to be the what? The quarterback guru, right? That's what everyone said he was. You backed the wrong guy, and you kept backing him, and that's Peyton Thorne. You got nobody in the transfer portal when everybody was screaming at you just to go get a guy. And we can't sit here, the Cam Wards and all that, I'm okay with not getting those guys, but there's enough talent, and you're seeing around the nation right now, of that mid-level quarterback transfer portal who could come in and fix a program, and that's on Hugh.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what they said. That's what they said when he was coming in. You know, I didn't know a whole lot about Hugh Freeze before he got to Auburn, and everyone said he was the quarterback whisperer, and so I don't know. And I heard another guy, you know, I don't know if I can say his name, but say that,
hey, Voldemort?
Hugh Freeze doesn't look like he's no, different. Paul Feinbaum, I'll just say it.
So Voldemort.
He was talking about how, yeah, there you go, exactly. How Hugh just doesn't look excited to be on the planes, like maybe he doesn't even want to be there. I don't know how much that matters, what he's got to say these days, but I don't know.
Well,
I just wanted to introduce it.
I think he's frustrated because he wants to win, right? It is a frustrating thing, and when you're not playing well, God help me if they ever showed me on the sidelines and we're not playing well, y'all would think I was in hell. But again, I think he does enjoy being in Auburn. He wants to get Auburn where he believes they should be and where a lot of us think that Auburn should be. And it's frustrating when you put in all this work and you put in all this effort and it doesn't come to fruition, especially when the hopes were so high heading into the Cal game. And then you go out there and you realize you forgot to wear pants to that last day of senior year in high school. So it's a tough situation.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Appreciate it, man. Great call.
Appreciate it, man. All right, anybody else on the line, please call in next week after a weekend of football.
Yes. All right. What a Friday. Emergencies, locks, liens, and dogs. All right, here we go. Tonight. I didn't screw it up this time, boys. Give me Nebraska, right? Gassing up Dylan Raiola, Matt the Builder. I like them because they can run the ball, and Illinois struggles to stop the run, and then Illinois struggles to run the ball. And if you're one-dimensional against Tony White, you are no dimensional against Tony White. So I'm going to take a -6.5. Bought that down a little bit because I don't operate in the 7.5s or even the 8s. That's at -150. Then Syracuse, our boy Cuse mode. Syracuse trying to stay undefeated. Kyle McCord looking good. Fran Brown holding it down up there playing Stanford. This isn't a debate on law of the environment. So give me Syracuse. Even though, is Syracuse a law school? Like, do they have? I don't know. We'll have to ask them that. Give me Syracuse -6.5. That's also at -150. Playing it safe tonight. Touchdowns win it. I like both these teams.
All right, so you're going Syracuse -6.5, Nebraska -6.5. Go to Flame and Dragons quick.
Yeah, come on. Fine. Bring it up. I'm ready to ride. All right, Nebraska -6.5.
Hey!
I'm putting an absolute stack on this. I trust both sides of the ball, and I trust Dylan Raiola. A little parlay action. Two-team. Syracuse -6.5. That spreads at 8.5. I bought this down. Nebraska -6.5. Bought that down to 0.2. That's going off at +180.
All right, bring mine up. I wanted you to go first because I want a squad ride this.
So let's go.
Squad ride.
Squad ride.
Nebraska -6.5.
We're undefeated on squad
ride. I want to change my parlay to -6.5.
I love it, Dave.
So if we all hit, we all win. I love it. So Nebraska -6.5 and Syracuse -6.5. The odds are what?
+180.
+180. All right, I'm going to update mine.
We are undefeated on squad rides. Thank you, Arizona State against Texas State, to keep that undefeated streak alive. All right, Ace, what do you got? Syracuse -6.5. Why not, baby? -150. And then the Nebraska, Illinois over 43 at -108. Going to be interesting. Let's get to the chat.
All right, if you donated today, guys, thank you so much. I promise you, we really appreciate it at the show. We're going to start with a $5 donation from Brody. Appreciate it, Brody. Says, Blaine, you've made me 5 bands the last 2 weekends. Keep it up, brother. Hey, we got to make another 5 this weekend, I promise.
5 bands. That's 5,000 for the older group.
$5 donation from TJ. Thanks, TJ. I don't know how to handle all this hype for my Canes. I keep waiting for the rug to get pulled out from underneath me. Hashtag go Canes. Hashtag beat USF. Good luck, buddy. $5 donation from Brady. Appreciate it, Brady. Says, take the Warhawks +44.5. Hashtag trust me.
Which Brady?
I wonder which Brady. I wonder if your last name rhymes with Skinson.
Yeah, let's go to a $10 donation from Matt. A&M will never win a championship. I don't care who plays at quarterback. Could be Santa. Could be Jesus. The last time they won a man with a bad mustache was taking over Europe. Unless Blaine gets to work, hook him.
I saw a meme the other day that had like it said, "Why?" It was a Georgia fan on one side, and he's talking to God, and he says, "Why do you keep giving me your toughest battles?" And God says, "Why won't you just drive the speed?" I don't know why it made me think about that. Santa quarterback. That'd be an up-tempo offense.
All right, $5 donation from the Lance man. Appreciate it, brother. He said, Crane, Lazard, what a call. One of the best bets I've seen in a while. Who do you have this weekend, brother? Go look at that Locks, Leans, and
Yes, yes. And Lazard the Wizard.
Let's go to David's favorite, Humping Badger. Michigan is in trouble at quarterback against USC. Better see if David Cohen has any eligibility left, even though he runs a 6'7", 40-yard dash and can skip rocks.
I do have a year of eligibility, and no, I'm not getting involved. I like my chair
and
right
he
here.
He said, I am 6'7". I don't run 6'7".
Yes, thank you.
Let's go to a $5 donation from Bentley. Appreciate it, Bentley. Says, guys, y'all are killing it in the betting game. I'm taking all y'all's locks this weekend. If there was one bet, you had to put the rent on, what is it?
God, I mean, to me, it's hard not to take the Ole Miss TTP. Like, it's really, really hard at 49.5 because I think they're going to drop a 50-piece. But again, I'm not the biggest Prime fan of all time. I like Colorado against Baylor this weekend, man. I just do. Say what you want. I think Dave Aranda's on his way out. But as far as making money on the bets, we love doing it. Look, we ain't trying to win. You know what? I'm not even going to say that. I'm not even going to say that. Just continue.
Best bet on the board. You go take all your money, okay, and you put it on Penn State minus 46.5 against Kent State. Okay, the only thing that will get you, if they change clocks, and then it'll all be voided, and then the lawsuits is coming.
So I still think the funniest thing that Flaming Dragon has ever said.
Was the betting thing?
Was the betting thing when because you know, like, when you get the betting company, you got to read, like, hey, you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-I-BLEW-IT or whatever. And then Flaming Dragon says, hey, you got a gambling problem?
Don't worry, we're going to win.
Don't worry, we're winning it back this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to win it back this week.
Which is the worst thing that you...
We're going to win it all back this weekend, dude. Don't worry about that. Problem.
You take that money from mama.
Yeah.
Problem is you ain't picking the right team.
Teams, exactly. $5 donation from Ryan. I got to get through these. As West Virginia losing went up by 10 with 4 minutes left, the West Virginia equivalent of 4th-and-31. I hate you. Also, Kansas comes to almost heaven, but we're going to give them hell.
You're talking about a game I'm not betting. Kansas and West Virginia not touching, Dylan Trump said.
$3 donation from David. Thank you, David. Flaming Dragon, did you get your gift from me yet? I don't think so, brother. I might have. I'll have to go check up front. Let's go to a $5 donation from Kobe Ferguson. Appreciate it, Kobe. Didn't put anything in there, but I bet it was a great comment.
I bet it was.
$5 donation from Alan. Appreciate it, Alan. Which point spread would y'all put next week's lunch money on?
I'd have to. I haven't even. I'm just trying to. I'm trying to get through this weekend. Obviously, Georgia opening up as a 2.5-point favorite against Bama. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning Bama right now, but you're not going to know until next week. Let us do some research, Alan. By the way, congrats on deciding to go to New Horizons.
All right, let's go. Mom,
Oreo smoothie now.
Let's go to $5 donation from Bradley. Bradley, appreciate it, brother. Says, I can't believe they're bringing the Barstool Bulls down to Auburn and not Crane and Company. Hey. Huge loss. Take Arkansas.
After what Brandon Walker said about Hugh Freeze, I can't believe that.
What'd he say?
Oh, my God. Like, awful stuff. Like, think of the worst thing you could say about somebody. But that's just the way it works.
All right, $5 donation from Booster Club Cards. Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you, Blaine. But can we do better on the locks this week? I bet my gas money for the tailgate on your lock picks, buddy. They're going to hit.
He literally bet Lazard. He hit you a plus $1,500 bet, Steve. Good God.
Maybe much better than that, buddy.
Yeah, some of you guys, man.
$5 donation, Q's. Appreciate it, Q's. You ever seen an orange crush a tree? Friday night, lights at the Dome tonight. You will witness exactly that. Hashtag go Q's. Hashtag beat Stanford. Let's go to a $5 donation from Molly. Thank you, Molly. Really appreciate it. So, Jake, you scared the hell out of me. Is Reed okay?
And yeah. Everything else? Yeah, she's fine. Thank goodness.
Good. Right. Okay, I believe that is all the donations for today, guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I lied. It just keeps popping up. $2 donation from the Florida Sun Devil. Says, Jake, still liking ASU preseason win total?
No, they're gonna hit that over than that. I'm trying to remember what was it, like 3.5, 4.5? They're gonna smash that. Big one this week. Y'all beat Texas Tech. we're going to have to start having like a different conversation. Like, forget the win total. Like,
let's go bowling.
Like,
let's go bowling,
let's
baby.
Let's go to a good, somebody get some mayonnaise poured on at the end of it. That's
$5 donation from David. Top NFL coaches, Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Sean McVay, Jim Harbaugh, and Kyle Shanahan. The last donation of the day, $2 donation from Cole. Love you guys. Thank you for the comfort. Every day. No
Always,
problem,
man. Absolutely. Great stuff.
Cole, we do this
Cole,
every day.
Cole, you're right.
Can anyone outside of the SEC or Big Ten win the national championship? Yes or just no?
Okay. So there's no third option you threw?
No, I know. Okay. Not today.
David, you go first.
What'd they say? They said no. I'll go 65%.
I'm going to say no 64%.
Wow. No. 68.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Yes.
That's like a good. That's I'm telling you, the audience is
smart
audience
fans, is man. Smart fans. Smart.
Oh, hold on. Play that graphic.
Yeah, play that graphic.
No,
play that
graphic. No, no,
yeah.
No.
That's right. That's
Jake
right.
had an emergency. I don't know if this should count.
Oh, yeah. Because
it's
of the avoid
goal.
No help. I'm balling.
Change the time get of
quarters. Up. AK Utah, Oklahoma State this weekend. Appreciate you guys. Shout out Jeremy's Razors. Shave above the rest. Responsible man. Be responsible. And man. And Tax Network. They're the team that can help you get out of trouble. And this ain't Florida State, so y'all still got a chance. All right, like the chances of me not enjoying the Illinois-Nebraska game tonight. We're going. Yeah, I thought you were going to do it. Oh, my God, that was an awful one.
Didn't see that.
I didn't say God. Oh, gone. That's all. That's the last one y'all
That's
saw.
Gone.
Why do
That's
we have counts. Nice things?
Yeah.
Republicans are Nazis. You cannot separate yourselves from the bad white people.
Growing up, I never thought much about race. Never really seemed to matter that much, at least not to me.
Am I racist?
I would really appreciate it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
If I'm going to sort this out, I need to go deeper undercover.
They don't say I'm racist.
Joining us now is Matt, certified DEI expert.
Here's my certifications.
And what you're doing is you're stretching out of your whiteness. This is more for you in this field.
Is America inherently racist?
The word inherent is challenging there.
I want to rename the George Washington Monument to the George Floyd Monument.
America is racist to its bones.
So inherently.
Yeah, this country is a piece of...
White
folks,
white
trash,
white supremacy,
white woman,
white boy.
Is there a black person around?
What's a black person right here? Does he not exist?
They don't say I'm racist.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Matt.
I just had to ask who you are because you have to be careful.
Never be too careful.
They don't say you racist.
In theaters now. Rated PG-13.